Hello and welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. My name's John Burns and this is my podcast for people who enjoy the outdoors. I appear to have confused everyone by changing the name from Outside In to Outdoors in Scotland. It's the same podcast, still me, you know, I haven't changed. So I thought Outdoors in Scotland was a better name, but I don't know now. Anyway, you listen to me, this is my podcast, and I'm going to talk about the outdoors. Now, as you probably know, normally I would invite along a guest, but I haven't got a guest today, mainly because it's not that no one would come. It was just that I'd like to talk to you today about my new book, which is just about released, The Hot Tent Diaries. Now, this is about my adventures in a hot tent. And if you've ever wondered what it's like using a hot tent, or you've never heard of a hot tent, you want to know what it is or anything like that, I think you'll find my book quite entertaining, quite useful. I think it's possibly the best book I've written. Possibly that's because I've been practicing. I've no idea, really. But first of all, I thought I'd tell you, right, what a hot tent actually is, because I realise that there's a lot of people out there have never heard of a hot tent. Okay, well, one of the last things you think of when you're camping is the possibility that you can actually have a fire in a tent. Fire and tents, in my experience, don't mix. It's a bad idea. But actually, there is a way that you can have a wood-burning stove in a tent and you'll be safe and not burn yourself to the ground or anything like that. Now, what I've been using, I use a 10 teepee Sapphire 7 tent. And what this is, a hot tent is essentially a tent with a wood-burning stove in it, which is a game changer as far as what you can do with a tent. Obviously, as you're probably aware, or you might not even know, I don't know, but I'm a resident in the Highlands of Scotland. And the Highlands are renowned, I have to say, for ever-changing weather. And the last few months, we're sitting here in autumn now, the last few months I've certainly borne that out. I've just got back from being up in Sutherland near Ben Hope, just at the foot of Ben Hope, I suppose you'd have to say. Not far from Loch Hope, I hope. Anyway, that was a very changeable experience. I experienced high winds and heavy rain, and got halfway up Ben Hope, and I met a guy coming down, and he said, what lovely weather it is, because it was at that precise moment nice and sunny. About 10 minutes after he'd said that, I happened to glance over my shoulder, and I could see these big black clouds hurtling in. Now, as far as weather's concerned, I have to say I do like to dodge the raindrops wherever possible. So I scuttled back down, got in my tent, and about an hour or maybe half an hour after I've been down, there is this almighty deluge. So, but I was safe and dry in my hot tent, and so that was great. So the hot tent I've got, it's what you describe as a bell tent, and it's made of quite a heavy canvas material. And within it, I've got a wood-burning stove. Now, the way this works, essentially, I'll just describe the way it works. It was a bit terrifying the first time I used it, I have to say. It's got a chimney, and the chimney passes through a hole in the tent. And where the chimney passes through, it's got what I would describe as a cage around it, a large, maybe a couple of foot long, and about eight inches in diameter cage. And the purpose of this cage is to defuse the heat coming off the stove. Now, when I first lit it, I can remember I was in Gerlock, and I sat and I looked at the stove and I looked at the chimney, and it was the first time I'd set it up and the first time I was about to use it. And I kept thinking, have I done this right? Because if I get this wrong, once I light this chimney, there'll be no tent, like the stove rather. But I've discovered that first night in Gerlock that the stove Doesn't burn the tent down, fortunately, because if it did, well, the hot tent wouldn't be much of a hot tent, would it? And I also discovered that there's a reason it's not called a warm tent, it's called a hot tent. And that's because the stove gives off so much heat. It doesn't matter how cold it is outside in a hot tent, you'll be nice and warm. In fact, the first time I used it in Gerlach, it had been a bit windy and a bit chilly when I got in, but it was all right. And I sat there and had a whiskey and watched the fire and read a bit of a book. And I thought, I went out to my car to get another book. And much to my amazement, the whole place was frozen solid. It was so cold, the doors of my tent had frozen, not the doors of my tent, doors of my car had frozen shut. I had a bit of a difficulty getting into the damn thing. But I was in a t-shirt in the tent, totally unaware that that was what it was like. So I found hot tenting to be a great new adventure. But what I really like about a hot tent, okay, it's old fashioned, it's got an old fashioned feel to it. It's heavy canvas, going back to the sort of tents. But it reminds me a little bit of the sort of tents that when I was about 5 or 6, my dad used to take me away to Wales. And people didn't have many tents to use. Nylon tents were a bit of a rarity. So what he did was, God knows where he got them from, he borrowed some huge army tents. And these were monsters, these tents. You could barely lift the damn thing. If I remember rightly, we had to have two taxis to take us to the station. We couldn't get old Kit in one taxi. So anyway, we used to camp in these tents, and they were pretty indestructible, but they certainly flapped a bit, you know. So anyway, what I like about the canvas tent, as I say, it's got an atmosphere. You could sort of, it's the sort of thing, you know, when it's cold and snowy outside, you can imagine, you know, Captain Scott just unzipping the flap and coming in and sitting down and having a chat with you. You know, it's a bit like that. And I don't, what I do in the hot tent, I'm often obviously camping wild. I camp in all sorts of remote glens and little places, just off, as far off the beaten track as I can possibly get. And I talk about all these places in the book, you know, and some of the little adventures that I've had. And like everything, like using any new piece of kit, you have to learn how to use it and learn what's best to do and how best to put it up and what suits you as well. You know, everybody's different in the way that they sort of want to camp. Some people like to camp in campsites and have, you know, nice facilities. And some people like me prefer to camp in the middle of nowhere. But it's great. One of the advantages of it also is that hot tenting has allowed me to go to places that I couldn't normally go to, and where pretty well nobody can go to, really, in a way, because I got into hot tenting largely due to the pandemic. And what happened, obviously, was that, you know, when in the initial stages of the pandemic, our ability to travel anywhere was restricted, and all the mountain bothies, the remote shelters in the highlands that I like to go to, and you can read about those in my book, Bothy Tales, quick plug, you know, those places were closed. And even now that they're open, I'm cautious about going to them. So I sort of thought, well, you know, I'm just going to have to go back to camping. But I like to be able to go in the depths of winter. I like to be able to go all year round. And I first of all bought a bell tent off the internet. It was nylon and made in China. when it arrived, I realized instantly I'd made a mistake. It was no way strong enough to support itself in the depths of a Highland winter, you know, hit by a bit of a breeze in Sutherland and knocked it over. God knows what would have happened if it had been really windy. So I then went on, I bought a big family tent, you know, the sort of thing that's got a number of rooms and maybe a bit of a window and sort of things for you to hang stuff in and zips and all that sort of stuff, which are great for families. They're a fantastic little thing. But again, it really came home to me very quick that that tent wasn't going to be able to withstand a winter. I was actually trying that to have that tent in Gaelock, and I happened to bump into an old couple who had the Sapphire 7, the 10TP Sapphire 7 that I'm using. And you know, when you see something and you think, that's it, that's what will do it. I saw that and I thought, yeah, that's got to be the tent for me, you know. And so I waited, to be honest, until the poor little elderly gentleman, he's probably the same age as me actually, popped his head out the tent, and then I captured him and grilled him for about half an hour on the properties of this tent, because I thought, if anybody knows anything about these tents, it'll be him. And I think he said to me, him and his missus, they'd spent maybe 500 nights in this tent, and they've been everywhere, you know, north of the Arctic Circle, all kinds of conditions. And he knew exactly how to use this tent and what it could do. And it reassured me, really, that the tent would do what I wanted it to do. I mean, one of the reasons I was a bit dubious of the tent was that it's essentially single skin. It doesn't, you can get an inner tent if you wish, but mostly it's just single skin. And my experience, of course, you see, of nylon tents that are single skin is that they stream condensation. But he said this one didn't, and so I took his word for it. And then I thought about it a long time, because you know, we're quite honest. To set yourself up with a tent, a hot tent, a decent hot tent, and a hot stove, and a stove is an expensive business. You probably do it cheaper than I did, but it probably cost me about 3,000 of your British proper pounds, you know. And sounds a lot of money, but if you think about it, you can. My experience has shown me that you can use a hot tent pretty well anywhere in kind of any conditions, and it gives you a lot of space. It's very comfortable. You know, you can sit up in it and stand up in it, which is a big boon. You're warm and you're dry. And in some ways, you know, if you compare, say, what it would cost you to buy a camper van, then actually, you know, a hot tent is a very, very cheap option. So, you know, I've now been thoroughly converted to hot tenting. You know, as I say, I used to go to Bothy's a lot, and I still do. But one of the things about a Bothy is, you know, if you're traveling about, you can't stay somewhere if there isn't a Bothy. You can only go where there are bothies, if that makes sense to you. But with a tent, and a comfortable tent, you can go to places like Kinlochhorn or Glencannock, just to give you a couple of examples. And these are places where there's not really any, there are no bothies there. There's no sort of places that you could stay other than camping. Yet they're very remote places. And camping. The great thing about camping with a hot tent, okay, and the major difference that I see in practical terms, is that if you're camping in what I'll describe as, say, a lightweight nylon tent, you know, if you're in the winter, you're going to be in that tent, because the days are short, for a very, very long time. You could be in it well over 12 hours. And if all you can do is lie in your sleeping bag, that's a hell of a long time in the dark. Also, if you know, as you know, it tends to rain here quite a bit, and if you get wet in a lightweight tent, you will take some moisture in with you every time you go in and out. And if it doesn't stop raining, you can't get out in the nice wind or whatever, dry yourself off, you will gradually get wetter and wetter. And you'll be getting into wet clothes, you'll be coming back and sleeping in maybe a damp sleeping bag. You know, if you've been out for a couple of weeks and stayed, it's kept raining, that's basically going to happen, unless you can get someone to dry your kit out. Doesn't matter how good a camper you are, if you don't get an opportunity to get dry, then it starts to be a pretty miserable, uncomfortable And indeed, if you get wet enough, a dangerous experience. So I'll contrast that with the big advantage of a hot tent as I see it. And it really is that, suppose if I'm out all day in the hills and it rains and I get wet and I come back in and all my kids dripping wet, I can light the wood burning stove, hang it up, hang my kit up, and dry it all out. So when I get up in the morning, I've got dry kit, my sleeping bag's dry, all my what I call my warm, dry gear, which I try and store away from the wet, all that's nice and comfortable. Now that makes a massive difference. You can't do that in any other kind of tent. And I was going to so say, I'll say a little bit about how the tent works, really, because it's very different from my experience in nylon tents. In the winter, in nylon tents, what you try and do is cocoon yourself away. But in a hot tent, one of the great things about it is it essentially works because it does use ventilation. And so in the tent that I've got, the tent teepee, it's got vents down in the floor. The tent's kind of octagonal, almost circular in a way, really. And there are vents, big vents that you can open up down in the walls near the floor. And then there's like a hat sits on the top of the tent, and you can sort of open the vents there. When the stove's going, obviously, what that means is you've got a current of air constantly coming through up through the tent and carrying away any moisture. And that is a really important point. The tent acts like a sort of a bit like a drying room itself, really. And it's driven, the engine of all this is the kind of heat that you can get out of the stove. Now, the stove that I've used, pretty big stove. I've been in it. Coldest I've been camped out at the moment is about minus 10. It handled that without any problem at all. You would probably, I would say, with the stove, minus 20, even minus 30, probably wouldn't be a problem. The essentially, the stove can chuck out so much heat that no matter what's coming at it, no matter how cold it is, you are warm. In fact, the problem with the stove is not so much getting it to produce heat, it's actually slowing it down because you can get cooked in there if you're not careful. But all that takes a little bit of experience, and it's what I talk about in the book. And then there's a few adventures, there's even a little story and a little poem I wrote. And at the end of the book, what I tell you about is the kind of kit that I take. And I give a list of about a dozen, I think, places that I found that are great to camp. Because obviously, this is if you don't know the Highlands, and even if you do, to be honest, camping in a hot tent's a very different experience. So you can go places you can't with other tents, and you can be in different places. So it's given me a new way of exploring, exploring the Highlands. I've been exploring these hills and this place for 40 odd years, probably more than that now, actually. I hate to think how long. And yet I discovered this tent takes me somewhere different. It allowed me to learn different skills, how to pitch it in the winter, how to find the right place to be, what's good and what's bad about it. And so that's it, the Hot Tent Diaries. It's been a great little book to write. I've really enjoyed it, and it's available as I speak in three separate sections. I've sort of split it up as an ebook, because I think people like to look at short, like to read short form books these days. If you're on the bus or the train commuting in somewhere, you can download it and you can read a short form book. And if you like volume one, maybe you'll buy volume two and even volume three. And one day I reckon there'll be a volume four and all. So anyway, it's also should be out very, very soon in paperback. At the moment, it's available on Amazon. And it will also be available from the Highland Bookshop in Fort William. They are very kind and nice people there, and they sell a lot of my books. Well, if you can't sell a book about the hills in Fort William, you really shouldn't bother, should you? Ha ha ha. So anyway, that's just a little taster, a little tincture about my book. I do hope you enjoy it. It'll be out, of course, in time for Christmas. So if you're wondering about, what presents you're going to give Uncle Albert, who likes camping, I've got an idea for you. Well, thanks for listening. My next guest, I'm hoping on my podcast, is going to be Andrew Terrell, talking about his book, his two fine books that he's written on his long multi-day walks. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to him. I've been John Burns. This has been my podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoy my books too. Take care. Thanks for listening.